after you drink coffee. I'll tell you what, this is something. But I'm glad to be here today. I'm glad to be able to be here, be with you. And you know, as Pastor said, I've been a pastor for 37 years, and God called me to ministry shortly after I got saved. I was 18 when I got saved. I was going to a State University of New York at Geneseo, graduated from there. And during that time at Geneseo, I married Debbie, my wife, my first wife, my only wife, I guess. So then I went to Tennessee Temple. Boy, great years at Highland Park Baptist Church back in 75. Graduated in 79. And the Lord touched my heart to start a church up in East Haven, Connecticut. Went there, and for 3 years we established Gateway Baptist Church. I turned that over to a pastor, and the Lord called me over to Albany, New York. I was very happy about that. And I pastored Valley Bible Baptist Church for 21 years. Then the Lord did something very strange. He moved me down south. And I went down south and took Grace Baptist Church in Hinesville, Georgia, about 40 minutes from Savannah. And I pastored there for 13 years. When I began pastoring there, a retired pastor came to see me from across the state, heard I was a new pastor, and began to share with me this ministry of bringing national pastors into churches to try to raise some support for them. And these national pastors basically come from third world nations. They don't have a lot. They're very poor. And quite frankly, their agenda is just to work for the day to put food on the table for today. And many nations are living like that in these third world nations. So he shared that ministry with me. They bring about 8 or 10 of these nationals in 3 times a year. They set meetings up for them in churches and take them around to the different churches and endeavoring to raise support for them. He told me, if you can, support them anywhere from $10 to $25 a month. Don't support them for any more than that, because it might sound strange. They don't need any more than that. Because, you see, they can do much with little. And someone said, well, you know, I'd like to support them for $100 a month. Well, that's your decision. But here's a problem with that. If you support a national for $100 a month, that means there's 3 others you could have support that you won't support. Amen? And so I had them in for 13 years, and the Lord really touched my heart with them, and man, I got to love them. By the way, I brought them right in with my American missionaries. I still believe in supporting American missionaries. I just believe we can get a whole lot more done if we'll support nationals too. So I had them in our church, and my 13th year, God worked in my heart to step out of the pulpit as a pastor and to work with these nationals full time. And so I joined Help Ministries. It's a ministry out of Calvary Baptist Church in King, North Carolina. Started back in 1994 in the Good Shepherd Baptist Church in Tampa, Florida. And I got on board, and I'm a representative. My main part of my ministry will be to go to pastors, and probably I'll have to face-to-face them because I can never get them on the phone. But go to pastors and sit down with them and show them what we are doing and the need to do it. This is a need, brethren. And try to get the pastor to say, yes, bring them in. Amen? Bring them in. And so that would be my main ministry. I work in Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, and just a little further up north, I work in New England. Amen? All the New England states, I'll be covering them as well. So my agenda is full as far as that goes. Then I also, though, will be taking mission trips overseas, prayerfully twice a year, to visit our nationals and to work with them and take pastors with me. I love preaching Faith Promise Mission Conferences. I enjoy it because I believe in it. It's Bible. That's why I believe in it. I like to believe in something that's Bible. Amen. Because the Bible doesn't change. Amen. Our feelings change. Feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the Word of God. Naught else is worth believing. And I thank God that what I do when it comes to mission conferences was what God is teaching His churches to do from the Word of God. So I thank the Lord for that. And I got to throw this in, I'm raising my support. Boy, that is different. I'll tell you what, very different for me. I was on this end, hello? Or maybe I just let the answering machine take it. And now I'm calling pastors and trying to raise support for what I'm doing. You know, one pastor said, let me watch my time here. That's the other problem with 8:30 service. It's got to come to an end. And I can keep on talking, but you're going to leave. One missionary said, I've become all things to all pastors, I might gain a few. That's my motto. But I'll be frank with you, it's hard to be all things to your pastor. When you go fishing with him, and he wants me to play Goliath and he Daniel, and he's pulling a fish, and the fish gets off, and that sinker came right back and hit me right in the face. I mean, brother, come on. I don't like Goliath to begin with, you know. And so there I was. Here's your pastor, Daniel, and here's me, Goliath. I could have fallen right into that water. He probably would let me just drift right on down and say, you know what I'm saying? But I love your pastor. We've really gotten to know each other, and we enjoy each other very much. I think we've got a lot in common, and I appreciate this church, all that you've done for us. Mind your hospitality, your food, your fellowship. It's been excellent. And I enjoy my time here. I enjoy going to churches, meeting churches. Some churches aren't very friendly, but you are friendly, and I thank you for that. Now, let's get in our study real quick here. I hope I get through everything this morning. Joshua chapter 1. Put a marker there. Here we're going to put some markers again, all right? I'm not going to guarantee we're going to get through all these. Joshua chapter 1, put a marker there. 1 Kings chapter 17. Joshua 1, put a marker. 1 Kings 17, put a marker there. All right? Joshua 1, 1 Kings 17. Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. Boy, we're moving, aren't we? Put a marker there. Joshua 1, 1 Kings 17. Daniel 3, when you get all those in your place, then just turn back to 2 Corinthians 8. You won't have any problem with that. As I said earlier, just let your Bible open up by itself, and it'll go right to that passage based on how much teaching you've gotten out of that context. Now, while you're doing all that, let me just remind you of the context of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Paul is exhorting the church of Corinth that a year ago determined to give a love offering, a benevolent offering to the church at Jerusalem, but yet a year has gone by and they hadn't done it. And the reason they were giving that love offering is because there was a great famine in Judea, and many of the churches didn't have food, and they were short on food. And so Paul exhorted the churches in Achaia and Macedonia to take up an offering, a benevolent offering, a generous offering, send it down to the church at Jerusalem, and let them distribute according to the needs that are there. That's the background of our text. And out of that text, we get principles by which to give our faith, promise, mission, giving. So what I want to do this morning, and I know we've read it many a times, but stick with me. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Let's just read it one more time. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, just a few verses. He said here, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit or to learn of the grace of God bestowed in the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record day, and beyond their power, their willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints." And let's go down to verse 7. "Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also," the grace of giving, what we're talking about here today. God wants you to abound in this. He wants you to be generous. And we've learned from our studies that we're to be generous because he owns it. Everything in your life he owns. He's the master, not you. Amen? You're just a steward, and he's the master. And so God wants you to abound in the grace of giving to missions. "I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of forming with others and to prove the sincerity of your love." You're going to show your love today to the Lord. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have." Now, God is calling upon you to give out of what you have. I'll be very frank with you. You can't give out of your debt. Your debt's already spoken for. That's why debt is such a danger in a Christian's life. That's why our goal ought to be always to avoid debt. Now, we can't avoid all of it. If you got a mortgage, that's debt. But that mortgage is spoken for, by the way. Amen? So you cannot take an offering out of your debt. You've got to take an offering out of what's beyond your debt. But, brethren, can I say something to you? You need God's help to do that. You really do. You need a divine wisdom to help you discern what you can give when it comes to faith, promise, mission, offering. And not only that, but God, who is not willing that any should perish, who has a great love for the world, and that he sent his son, and who's giving out of his wealth that you are holding in your life, he's going to encourage you and show you to give an offering that's going to depend upon him to give it and not you. That's what a faith promise mission offering is all about. It's exciting. It's giving a sacrificial abundant offering every week to worldwide missions through my church, for 1 year, by faith in God and his promise to enable me, provide for me, and care for me as I do it. That's the mission offering. It's God actually giving through you. Boy, get a hold of that today. The responsibility of your offering is him. You give the obedience by faith, and he'll provide the money, and he'll take care of you. He really will. Who'd say amen to that? I've heard some good testimonies around this church this week concerning faith, promise, mission, giving, and what it has done in their lives. I wish we had time to do that. I wish we could have people stand up this morning and say, "Preacher, I give a faith, promise, mission offering, and I just want to tell you, God is good. And I've experienced blessings from him." And you know why you do? Because it's Bible. I'm not talking some stewardship plan of man. I'm talking about the stewardship plan of God, who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish. I'm talking about God and his word. And his word is a rock. And we're to build our lives on the word of God. So I want to encourage you this morning, oh, my brethren, give that offering. And we took time to look at some things this week. We talked about the crisis. People are dying and going to hell. If they don't have the Lord as their Savior, when they die, the wages of sin is death. Who'd say amen to that? That's a fact. Oh, the devil wants us to forget that. We talked about the cure for the crisis. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? It's not the good works of a person because he's still a sinner. Only the gospel can enable God to forgive us of our sins. And then we saw the command of our faith, promise, mission, offering coming from the Lord himself to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And then we studied the construction of a faith, promise, mission, offering. How do I determine a worldwide mission offering that's pleasing to God? How do I determine an offering that's according to God's will? For the past 2 weeks, as I understand it, I might have it wrong, I don't think I do, your pastor has gone through 2 Corinthians 8. Now, that is a rarity. Praise God for your pastor. Most mission conferences, I haven't done that many, but most mission conferences I've gone to, they've not done that. I think he did a wise thing, and he's prepared you for today. I added some things to it. I gave you some 14 principles on a sheet of paper, and praise God, you're prepared for today is what I'm trying to say. If you love God and you've been praying about this, Jeremiah 33:3, call to me now, and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. If you've been praying for this, you're ready. And now the day's come for you to respond to your Lord and commit to a faith promise mission offering. Brethren, the world needs it. The world needs it. Our country needs it. Well, hey, you don't have to go far. Just go outside these doors, and the need is right outside these doors. I went up and down the street with my brother for visitation yesterday. The need's right here in Rome, New York. It's all over the world. But praise God, listen to me now, he has a plan by which to reach the world with the gospel of Christ. And that plan is his church. That plan is Friendship Baptist Church. You say amen to that. God has a plan. And so listen, some of you've already know the mind of God for your offering. Others, you're still kind of waiting on God through prayer to show you what he desires you to give. Let me just say this. Before this day is over, if you want to know God's will, he'll show you. He will. Because God's in it. Perhaps God's already shown you what he desires you to give, and it's bigger than you expected, and it's not your will. Lord, I don't think I can do that. Well, praise God, you can't do it. But God can. Amen? Or he's shown you something or some things that you can sacrifice and go without. Maybe some things you plan to do this year, but God's touched your heart and said, "No, I want you to increase your giving." And you're going to have to sacrifice those things and to give an abundant mission offering. And you're scared. Could I just encourage you this morning to obey God and give it anyway by the grace of God, and then you will experience the peace and joy of God. You say, how do you know that, preacher? Because 2 Corinthians chapter 8 teaches that. You know, this church was in deep poverty. They were going through afflictions, but yet they gave liberally out of joy. You want joy today? Then do what God tells you to do. You will have joy. I know that from the Bible. I know that by experience. Hey, listen, your preacher's no different than you. He's saved by the same God. He goes through the same struggles. He has the same passions that you have. And I'll tell you what, over the years, when I have had my mission conferences, there's some things God showed me as increasing my giving. Man, I'll be frank with you, it scared me. But when I said, "Yea, Lord, and stepped out by obedience and did what he told me to do, I had peace. And can I say something? God took care of me all through that year that I gave that mission offering. Now, the reason we have a yearly mission conference is that we might allow God to enlarge our faith to give a greater offering. Would you agree with that? Now, there may be, however, sometimes when an income decreases instead of increases, and then there can be an adjustment time. Really. You know, sometimes that happens. I've seen it over the years. I've seen the dad, you know, have to take another job and his income's cut in half. He couldn't give what he did before because you give out of what you got. And so he's had to cut back a little bit. But I will say this, that's the exception. I don't know you. I don't know what your income is, what your increase is, but that's the exception. The rule is we can increase our giving, and we need to, because there's a world dying and going to hell. And this morning, here's what I want to do. I want to teach the conviction of a faith promise mission offering. The conviction of a faith promise mission offering. Look back at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 10. He said, and here and I give my advice. Now remember, a year ago this church set out to do this. They hadn't done it yet to get that offering. For this is expedient for you who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Watch this. Now therefore perform the doing of it. As there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. All right, Lord, I see now what you want me to do. This is what by thy grace I will do it. I will trust you to enable me and provide for me and care for me as I do it. All right, do it. Do it, just do it. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. How do I faithfully give my mission offering every week throughout the year? How do I do that? You do it by Bible conviction. Bible conviction. Now listen, when I talk about conviction, I'm not talking about being found guilty of a crime. Amen. That's not what I'm talking about. When I talk about conviction, I'm talking about a Bible belief that you have learned from the Bible that carries a responsibility to it, a doing action to it, and you are going to do that no matter what comes your way. No matter what comes your way, you're going to stay faithful to fulfilling that commitment. Did you hear me? That is conviction. You know, 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by what? Help me. Inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine. Let me stop right there a moment. You know, when we think of doctrine, we say, well, that's what I believe. And you're right, it is. But it's more than what you believe. It's what you do because of what you believe. Doctrine is believing and doing. Believing and doing. And brethren, when it comes to your faith promise mission offering, it's Bible doctrine. You believe in what you're doing, but you've got to do it. And you do it. That's called conviction. So how do I perform the doing of my mission offering? Two quick thoughts about this. Two principles. Let me look at my time here. Okay? Two principles. I would encourage you to write them down because you're going to need them. You're going to need them. I don't care if you've been involved in faith promise mission giving since this man's become your pastor. You're going to need them. You're just flesh and blood. You're not strong. You're weak. Paul said, when I'm weak, then am I strong, because he's your strength. You're going to need them, folks. You may think you don't need them. Well, bless God, I've had no trouble with my faith promise mission giving. Oh, you're a prime candidate for problems. So, two thoughts. Number one, write this down. Be on guard. Be on guard. Be on guard for your enemies, for you will be attacked for your faith promise commitment. Be on guard for your enemies. You need to understand there's those that oppose what you're doing. And the first one I want to remind you of is you. You see, within you, when you got saved, that sin nature became the old nature. That sin nature no longer ruled your life, but it's still there. And that sin nature is not impressed with what you're doing this week, because that sin nature thinks you all use that money some other place. Right? And you've got to be on guard for your old nature. It's going to come up at times and flare up and say, "Now, I don't think you can do this. I need to take care of my family. I need to fix that car so I can get to work. I don't think I can give it this week. Watch out for that old nature. I'm cutting a lot of things out this morning, but you know there's scripture for that. Huh? Old Paul said he battled the flesh. I'm glad for that passage over in Romans 7 where Paul describes his battle with the flesh, aren't you? Because it tells me, hey, that's me too. I go through that too. We all have that in common this morning. Every one of us. It don't matter how spiritual you are this morning, you still have to battle your flesh. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The second enemy is the world we live in. And especially in the good old USA, where you can buy now and pay 10 years later. I mean, I'll tell you what, it's impressive. Can I be frank with you? You can have anything that you want in America. Now, it might take 20 years to pay it off, but you can have it. We are a debt-minded society. We have a devil's doctrine when it comes to debt. We had that, what, that trillion, trillion, trillion debt. America didn't used to be like that. Now we're the tail. We're no longer the head. And the head dictates the tail, amen? I never see a dog following his tail, amen? He just goes forward with the head. That tail rules. So you need to realize the world's after it. You know, let me back up just a moment. I forgot to say this. D.L. Moody, how many of you know who D.L. Moody was? Amen? He said this, I'm not going to quote exactly, but if you go on your internet, you can find it. Amen, and Google. He said basically this, the one that gives me the most trouble in my life is me. And you better realize that. You're going to be your greatest enemy in this matter of saying faithful to give your faith promise mission offering, especially if it's sacrificial. It's going to be your biggest enemy, the world. But then, of course, we know the devil is the other one. Amen. Oh, folk, can I say something? He's upset this morning. Now, he may not be here, but he's got a host of demons, fallen angels that do his bidding. He's all over the place to those angels, and they know exactly what you are doing here this morning. They're going to do everything they can to discourage you. And when you give that commitment, they may lay off for a day or two, but I guarantee you he'll be back to bother you because he knows the gospel is the power of God and salvation to anyone that believeth. And he does not want people to get saved. He wants them to go to the pitch blackness of hell and be with him for all eternity. Brethren, he is opposed to what you're doing. The Bible says over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Who say amen to that? But I want you to see who hides the gospel. It says, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Three enemies. They're going to battle. And by the way, they work very well together. They work very well together. My flesh likes the philosophy of the devil. My flesh likes the enticements of the world. They work well together. And they're going to work on you giving your faith promise mission commitment. They're going to sometime I'll get into a little bit more in a moment, but they're just going to impress you sometime. What in the world am I doing? Or I can't afford to do this. They're just going to try to stop you from doing what God has taught you to do as he cares for you, as he provides for you, and even as he enables you to do it. All right? So number one, be on guard. Number two, give your faith promise mission offering by conviction. So to shorten that up a little bit, give by conviction. I want to take the rest of my time and talk about conviction. 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 Not found guilty of a crime, but a firmly held belief that I will not change regardless of what comes my way. And I'm talking about Bible conviction. Who would agree with me that this is the rock? Who would agree with me that God wants to build your life, manifest himself to you through the teachings of this book? Amen? Can I get some other amens? Okay. So listen, brethren, what I believe and what I do must have the Bible as my basis. When it doesn't, it's like sinking sand. It doesn't hold up. Conviction. By conviction, I give my offering every week, trusting in God's promise to enable me and provide for me and care for me as I do it. And I will not change. I will not change what I believe and am doing, regardless of what comes my way. Regardless of what comes, I will stay true. By the grace of God, by his mighty power, I will stay true to what God's called me to do. Now, I think there's three parts to Bible conviction. One is a commitment to Scripture as one's authority for what I believe and do. A commitment to Scripture as one's authority for what I believe and do. I'll be frank with you, brethren. If I did not believe the Bible taught what I've been preaching all week, you wouldn't see me doing it. But I know it's what the Bible teaches. Number two, a commitment to a specific belief based on the authority of Scripture. A commitment to a specific belief based on the authority of the Scripture. So, a commitment to Scripture is my authority for what I believe and do. A commitment to a specific belief based on the authority of the Scripture. And then number three, this is important, the courage to practice the belief regardless of what comes my way. The courage to practice my belief regardless of what comes my way. Joshua, can you turn there? Boy, I don't know. We're running out of time here. Joshua, can you imagine his responsibility? Taking a million people plus across the Jordan at high bank, the banks are overflowing, and to conquer the land. And God had some advice to him. He had his marching orders. And here's what God said. Look at verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. Do you know what good courage is? Conviction. Conviction. Be a man of conviction, Joshua. From this people shalt thou divide for inheritance the land which I swear unto thy fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous. You know what he's saying to Joshua? Be a man of conviction. You know what I have called you to do? Now, just do it with conviction. That thou may observe it according to all that of the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou may prosper whithersoever thou goest. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou may observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Not just success, but good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be a man of conviction. You know what you're to do. Now trust me and do it. And don't let anything stop you. Be not afraid. You see, I suspect he was afraid at times. Neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Boy, there's the confidence of a conviction. The confidence of a conviction. The Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. What encouragement to have Bible convictions today, my friend. The Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. The confidence of a conviction. We already looked at 2 Timothy 3:16. Doctrine, believing, and doing. Now, I want to show you a Bible definition of conviction. I like Bible definitions, amen? I mean, we do pretty good with some definitions, but you can't improve on the Bible. So go over to Daniel chapter 3. You know the context here. I believe you do. I'll give you a little bit of background to it. Old King Babylon, he was a proud man, and he decided to make this golden image, and when the instruments sounded or to bow down and worship that golden image, and there was three Jews who were high in the leadership under the king that refused to bow. And it was reported to the king, and he's very upset. He's upset for two reasons. Number one, these are his valued counselors. They really helped him. And number two, he was upset because he wouldn't bow down to his image. So he gave him one last opportunity to bow down to the golden image. If you'll do that, basically he was saying this, if you do that, we'll just forget the whole thing. And look with me at verse 16. Let's look at their answer to the king. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer this matter. You know what that means? I don't have to think about what I'm about to say. I'm not careful. I don't have to take some time out and then come back to you and tell you what we'll do. We're not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. Who say amen to that? That's my God, amen? All things are possible to him. Nothing's impossible. Hey, listen, God can do anything but sin. Good answer. But you better read a little bit further. He said in verse 18, but if not, if God chooses not to deliver me, be it known to thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. That's a Bible definition of Bible conviction. These men said, hey, God can deliver us from that fiery furnace, but if he doesn't, we're not going to do what you said. That's conviction. That's conviction. Now listen, we know the rest of the story. He delivered them, didn't he? But here's what I want you to get to. It don't matter what God's going to do for you. He did promise to take care of you, didn't he? We've seen that this week. He did promise even to enable you to get that offering. He promised to provide for you. But brethren, here's where conviction really gets grounded cemented. He'll take care of me, but if he doesn't, I'm going to do it anyways. That's conviction. That's Bible conviction. And you know the sad thing is? We're lacking that in our churches today. There's a time that our Baptist churches had convictions. Bless God, no liquor in my house. No beer in my house. I'm saved. And now more and more, God's churches are approving of a glass of wine at the dinner table. You see, what we've done, we've gone from conviction to convenience. If it's convenient, I'll do it. That's the enemy of conviction. If it's convenient, I'll do it. If I'll do for God, if I'm able, if I have time, if I'm not too busy, if I don't have other plans, if I don't have family plans, if nothing gets in the way, if I do not have another commitment, if something better does not come my way, and the list goes on. And what we once called conviction in our churches have now been called legalist. And we've exchanged convictions for convenience. We've taught the people to serve the Lord with convenience. Church attendance, not like it used to be, because there's a conviction about being in the house of God. Even if Uncle Bill and Aunt Sue, who you've not seen 20 years, stopped in your house Sunday morning, you invited them to come to church with you. If they said no, well, we'll see you after church. We don't do that anymore. We use it as an excuse for not going to church. I could go on and on. But are you seeing what I'm trying to say? Can you get a hold of what I'm trying to say this morning? Bible conviction. Give that offering with Bible conviction. God will take care of you. But if he didn't, I'm still going to do it. I'm still going to do it. Now, one more place to look. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 8. And I think I'm going to make it. Praise the Lord. 1 Kings 17, verse 8. Tremendous story. Oh, I love this one. Elijah, the prophet of God, was called of God to go throughout Israel, calling upon the Israelites, the northern kingdom, to turn from their idolatry, calling upon those wicked kings to turn from their idolatry. He was a man of God doing the work of God. He was called of God to go throughout Israel. He was rebuking King Ahab and the kingdom of Israel for her idols, calling them to return to her God. He was God's spokesman. In our text, there's a king by the name of Ahab. He reigned for 22 years in Israel. He was the most wicked king, the most ungodly king of all the kings, leading Israel into many abominations. And God sent a message to King Ahab through the prophet Elijah. He said, it's not going to rain for 3 years. And oh, that king hated Elijah to begin with. That just made him hate him more. And the king put a price on his head, and he was determined to get Elijah and cut him up in pieces. And now I'm reading between the lines. But I guarantee you, he hated Elijah. And he did not want Elijah to preach anymore. He was tired of Elijah always preaching against him, and he wanted to kill Elijah. The Lord sent Elijah to the brook of Cherith for water, and the ravens brought him food morning and night. Boy, I read that. You know, I like to review my text. I was reading it yesterday, and you know what God impressed my heart with? Now, this is not a conviction. He impressed my heart. All I need to do is eat breakfast and dinner. Now, that's not a conviction. I'll just let him work on that, amen? And, you know, but it might not be a bad diet plan, amen? Oh, come on, folks, amen. All right, so anyways, the Lord sent Elijah to the brook of Cherith for water. The ravens brought him food morning and night. Ravens. Birds were feeding the man of God. But the brook dried up because of the drought, and the ravens quit coming. And then the Lord sent him to Zarephath to a widow woman whom he commanded to take care of the man of God. You following me so far? Okay, look at verse 8. Verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, Elijah, saying, Arise, go thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee. Did you get that? I have commanded a widow woman to sustain. What you're doing here today is God's command to take the gospel throughout the world. So he rose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks, and he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, let me stop there. Remember now, God commanded this widow woman to take care of the prophet. She recognized right away, there he is. Maybe she knew him from before, I don't know, but she knew this was a man whom God commanded for her to take care of it. And she immediately went to get him water. That was her call. That was a command of God. Amen. But notice what he said to her next. Verse 11. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. She knew that the Lord commanded her to take care of the man of God, but she had a problem. What was the problem? She was going through rough times. She was going through a crisis. All she had was enough food on the table for one more meal. She was going to prepare it. Her son and she were going to eat it, and then they would die. Boy, I'll tell you, that's a pretty gloomy story. And she told the prophet that, amen? And he wanted food. Look at verse 12. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in the barrel, and no oil in the cruse. And behold, I'm gathering 2 sticks, and I might go in and dress it for me and my son that we may eat it and die. And you know what Elijah said? He said, Oh, I am so sorry. You don't have to feed me. Just take care. No. Oh, look at the answer he gave her. Oh my, you would say, who does he think he is? Look down here. Look at his response. Elijah said unto her, Fear not. She was scared. She was hurting. Go and do as I have said. Go ahead and make that meal. But make me thereof a little cake first. Underline that word. First. Take care of me first. Bring me my meal first, and bring it unto me, and afterward make for thee and for thy son. Did you get the response? Okay. He knew. He heard the crisis. He heard the problem. And here's what he said. All right, go do it, but wait, you feed me first. You say, well, that's very selfish. No, that's Bible. That's the man of God whom God commanded to be taken care of. Whatever he needed, she was to take care of him. He was absolutely right in what he did. We might think, man, what about man? Who does he think he is? You know, what about that poor son? You know, what's the matter with him? Well, he should have said this. Go ahead and we'll find something else. And look at the widow's response. Verse 15. She went and did according to the sayings of Elijah. She obeyed the prophet by conviction. She trusted and yielded to the authority of God's word that said to take care of this man. And the Lord took care of her. Verse 15, she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. Verse 16, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. You see, when Elijah said, okay, go ahead and do what you're doing, but feed me first. You know who really was telling her to do that? God was. Take care of the man of God. I'll take care of you. And God did it. And brethren, when the hardships come and the devil tempts you and the old nature begins to reason in your life, your inability to keep giving your faith promise mission offering, remember the widow woman. Remember the widow woman. Be a man and a woman of conviction. Be a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Give your faith promise mission offering by conviction, and God will take care of you. He's got plenty of wealth. He fed Elijah by the ravens. He fed Israel 40 years by manna. Listen, he'll take care of you. He owns the world. He'll take care of you. Just do it. So, I guess it starts next, does it start next week, your missions year? Whenever it starts, you bring your offering. And to be quite frank with you, it won't be difficult to do. By faith, you put it in there, and you live the rest of the week seeing God take care of you. You may do it, maybe you'll do it for 2 months. By faith, you put the offering in there, and you see God take care of you for the rest of the week. Maybe you go 2 or 3 months like this, but then, oh my, there's a loss of job. No income. What am I going to do? I can't get my faith promise offering. You know what you do? You write it out. And even though you're going through that crisis, you get up there and you put it in the offering plate. And God will take care of you. He'll provide for you. Listen, he's faithful who has promised. Oh, my, I've been in a hospital for a while. I've got a huge hospital bill, a crisis in my life. What am I going to do? You come to your church, and you put that faith promise offering in the basket, trusting God who said he'll take care of you, and he'll take care of you. That's what I'm trying to put across you. That's a conviction. And that's how we need to give our faith promise mission offering. I guarantee you, somewhere a crisis will come along. The car will break down. Boy, do they cost a fix today. My goodness. Or maybe you'll have to go in the hospital. Or maybe your income will decrease during the year. By conviction, you keep putting it in there. And God will send the ravens. God will bring manna down from heaven. God will take care of you. But you know what? Even if he didn't, I'm going to do it. Because it's a conviction. Father, thank you so much for our time together this morning. A great step of faith is about to be taken in this church. It's not the first step. They are faithful in faith promise and mission giving. But Lord, for many of us here today, you're calling upon us to enlarge our faith, increase our faith, and to give more. I believe it's most people in this church, that's the case. And Father, I pray that this study on Bible conviction will encourage him to give that offering by conviction. What I am doing, I believe it is God's will. I believe God's in it. And I will faithfully give my faith promise mission offering regardless of what comes my way. If it's a hospital bill, I'll still give it. Amen. If it's a shortage of food, I'll still give it. Amen. If it's a broken down car, I'll still give it. If it's a loss of a job, I'll still give it. I will still stay faithful to my commitment because God has promised to be faithful to me. Thank you, Father, that we can build our life on Bible convictions. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
So what is God telling you to do by faith? Faith play, please. What's God telling you?
To be begging God right now. God, give it to me. just share a couple things with you. Make sure you get a faith promise mission pledge. Mine's filled out. I'm going to put it in the offering the next 11 o'clock when it comes by. And that'll go in there. And make sure you get those turned in. I mentioned a couple weeks ago that, you know, I always put my tithe in and took care of my missions first. That was the first thing I did. But one week we were down, we had a dollar and change left for groceries, $1.38. My late wife says to me, what do we got left for groceries? $1.38. She's like, how you spending $1.38? But anyway, so I mentioned that a few weeks ago. This week, a young lady in our church came up to me and said, Pastor, I gave my offerings to the church, to the Lord. And she says, when it was all said and done, I had about $4 left. And then she told me, she goes, but God, throughout this week, this was just the other night, she said, God gave us this and this and this. She goes, I was encouraged by that. By faith, sometimes, you said a car might break down. A car is going to break down. Okay, it's not a might, it's going to. That happens. But you know what? God will take care of you. And so we do that. And it was just, another man gave me a testimony, just started tithing recently. And he said, Pastor, I just can't. The very next day, I got a check in the mail. He goes, it's unbelievable. He goes, I can't believe this, how this works. But it really works. Your best way to learn it? Experience it, right? Get out there and do it. Listen, let's stand. We'll be dismissed in prayer. Visit the missionary tables. There's only one of them here. You can talk to Brother Patala, or Tony calls him Togo. Do you know what Tony calls him? But he's a missionary to Togo. And Brother Mueller will be back tonight. He had a meeting this morning out in Holland, New York, up by Lancaster, and then he'll be driving back this afternoon. They'll be here tonight, and tonight will be the last service of this mission conference, and then next week I'll begin to finish up our series I interrupted on Kingdom Authority. But we really want God to work. So visit the missionaries, get prayer cards, pray for them. Let me tell you to do something. We have a table on our island at home. It's got missionary cards in it. And we'll give each one to one of the girls, and we'll pray for a missionary a night. And I got to mention it. So Chris and I were praying yesterday morning together, and we was praying for the Roberts family. It came to my mind. I said, Lord, I haven't heard anything about this baby yet. I don't even know if Sarah had that baby. But anyway, so my wife gives me an elbow and says, you had your baby. And while I'm talking to the Lord, she does interrupts me. But anyway, I've done it to her before. The baby's here today. So if you want to see the brand new baby, praise the Lord. When was it born anyway? Look at that, barely a week old, a little over a week old. Haven't been church, praise God. Father, thank you for the day today. Thank you for the preaching of your word. Thank you for the challenge. Thank you for the scriptures. And thank you for the examples that were used from there to show that people lived by their convictions. Brother Mills is right. A lot of people have caved on their convictions. They've changed their convictions. They've softened them. Usually that's always the direction it goes, but not 100%. But so make our stronger. Give us a strong faith, a faith that believes and trusts and acts. But if not, we'll be okay with it, Lord. We're just going to be faithful. Lord, help us in Jesus' name. Amen.